This evening, if you have your Bibles, we want to continue our study through the book of Acts. So if you turn with me to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. The apostles have been fulfilling the great commission that Jesus had given to them after he rose from the dead and prior to his ascension, where he told them to take the gospel and begin by taking it into Jerusalem. And they'd taken it with great boldness, and the power of God's Spirit had led them as they took it into the city of Jerusalem. And where they had stood in fear before, they now stood in great boldness, proclaiming the truth of God's Word. God worked in the early church in a tremendous way. There were miracles, and as we know from historical accounts as well as from the Scripture, many of the early Christians were persecuted for their faith. And as they were being persecuted, some of them had needs financially, as well as the apostles, as they took the gospel and really didn't have their jobs anymore because they were proclaiming the Word of God. The disciples began to, those followers of Christ began to sell their property and bring it to the Lord and give it to the disciples to be used for the furtherance of the kingdom. This evening we're going to be taking a look at a couple of different accounts that are found in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts as the church was beginning. And one of the things that we see in the early church is initially was the account of Ananias and Sapphira, which we find in chapter 5. And then after that, we find that the apostles went forth in great power and the opposition that they met. And many have looked at the fact that the Spirit of God was moving within the church and without the church, and directing the apostles to trust and the disciples of Christ to trust totally in Him. It's a lesson that we need to be learning today as well, especially as we face the opposition of the world, both from the attacks within, as Satan attacks Christians and wants us to fail in our walk and our testimony for the Lord, and places temptations before us lest we fall for them, and also the attacks from without, as the world would seek to stifle us and silence us so that we are not effective. And so Satan does attacks both ways. We're going to be looking at that this evening in chapter 5. So let's begin by looking at chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of it of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power, in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias heard these words, fell down, and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, and wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what had was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this evening. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand the importance of walking in your power and your might and not allowing Satan to deceive our hearts and to get us to do things which would be against your will. Speak to us now through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some people have said, why did God judge Ananias and Sapphira so severely? Especially when you look at the church today and you see so much worldliness and wickedness in the church, and yet it seems like nothing happens to people in the church today that would do things that, in many people's eyes, would be even worse than what these people did. But part of the thing is the church was just being formed. The Spirit of God was directing God's people and calling people onto Himself. And He wanted to show a difference between what it is to follow God and follow the world. Now, what was happening, as I mentioned, people were giving and selling their possessions. And we saw last week that Barnabas, who had owned land in the island of Crete, had sold that land and brought all the money and laid it at Peter's feet and gave it to the church that it could be used for the furtherance of the gospel. And I'm sure that there were people that greatly applauded what Barnabas and other Christians had done in giving to the church and the work of the gospel as God called them to do that. Now, I want you to see that, first of all, God lays upon people's hearts a desire to give, and they respond to the leading of the Lord. And God it's significant that the Scriptures tell us that personal property is important to the Lord. As you read in the Old Testament and in the law, personal property is something that God says that it should be a right to individuals to possess it. But it also, the Scriptures continually tell us that we're stewards of everything that God gives to us. That is, we're stewards of our time, we're stewards of our talents, we're stewards of our possessions. And we are to use them for His glory and His honor. Now, what had happened in this account is that Ananias and Sapphira had desired to have the accolades of men, but not really doing what they were being praised that they had done. And Peter points out the fact that the land, when it was in their possession, was theirs. And God had given it to them and allowed them to have it to do with as they wanted. And they could have done anything with it. They could have kept it. They weren't forced to sell it and give it to the church and give it to the work of the apostles. They weren't forced to do that. It was theirs. And Peter says, when you had it, it was yours. And then he says, when you sold it, the money that you gained from that sale was yours, and it was in your control. And you could do with it as you sought to do with it. What was the problem then, and what did God judge them for? Because what they did is they took part of it and kept part of it, but led the apostles and led all the church, all the Christians, to believe that they had given everything to the Lord, when they really hadn't. And one of the reasons they did that is they wanted the praises of men, but they didn't acknowledge that they were really needed to be stewards of God's goods, and that what they were to do was to honor Him even more than just getting the praises of men. And so what they try and gain the praises of men is they took the part of the money and kept it for themselves, because they wanted the money, but they also wanted the praise. And they gave it and pretended that they had given it all to the Lord. Now, one of the things you see here is God works supernaturally in the early church, not only in the miracles that were done, but also really giving Peter and the apostles insight into what was happening in people's lives. Later on, you'll see that Paul, when he was taking some of his missionary journeys, really understood what the spiritual desires were and the intents of some of the people who were pretending to do something but really wanted it for something else. You think of Simon the magician, who said he wanted to purchase the power of the Spirit, and he pretended that he wanted it to bring glory to God, but really he wanted it because he wanted to be able to impress men and hold power over people. And he was greatly chastised for doing that. A very similar thing in an attitude is seen here. And one of the things we need to realize is when we are entrusted with what God has given to us, we're to take that trust very seriously. And as Peter is given insight into what really happened by the Spirit of God, he tells them, "You didn't lie to me," which they did. They did lie to Peter, and they lied to all the Christians that came there. But the real sin was that they lied to the church, or lied to the Spirit of God and to God. And so we see here that we need to understand that when we do sin, it's not that we're sinning against people, because we do that. Some of the sins that we do oftentimes result in being directed towards people. But ultimately, the sin is towards the Lord, and we're disgracing the name of the Lord with the things that we do. And that's exactly what happened here. And so Peter confronts him, and he says, he gives him an opportunity to come clean. He said, and in verse, he says, "But when Peter said, 'Ananias, why hath Satan,'" or first of all, go and he says in that, in verse 3, "And Peter said, 'Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained in thy hand, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied to men, but unto God?" And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down. God's judgment came upon him immediately. And we're going to see that it didn't stop there. It also went to Sapphira, his wife. Now, when his wife came in, Peter gave her the opportunity to confess that, no, we didn't really give it all to the Lord. We kept part of it. And had she done that and confessed that they'd actually done that, she wouldn't have died. But she lied as well, just as because she and Ananias had conspired together that this is what they would do. They would lie, and they both went through with their lie. And so when Peter confronts her, she lies as well. And immediately, she falls dead. And Peter tells her, "As they're carrying out your husband, so likewise they'll carry you out." And she gives up the ghost or dies as well. Now people have said, were they really Christians? Well, the indication is that they were, that they had trusted the Lord, but the problem was they had violated a trust, and God was showing the importance of walking in the purity of His Spirit and walking in the power of His Spirit and not lying to His Spirit and sinning against His Spirit. And the implications that that would have on the early church, as well as the church today. One of the things that we see that's happening in the church today is that people oftentimes have the spirit of Ananias and Sapphira, and they want to really deceive the Lord and think that they can get by with doing things and deception of the Lord. And they really can't. God knows the intents of our hearts. He knew Ananias and Sapphira's intents. They couldn't deceive God because He saw everything they did. Likewise, when we sin, we don't deceive the Lord. He sees everything that we do. He sees why we do it. He knows the intents of why we're doing it. And we need to confess it as sin and turn from it, that we can walk in the power of His Spirit and not in the judgment of His Spirit. And this is why God's judged so severely in the early church, is He wanted them to understand the importance of walking in the power of God's Spirit. Well, in the last portion of this chapter, we're going to see that what they did is the disciples understood the walking in the power of God's Spirit. And once again, they're confronted from outside the church, and they're confronted by the world and the leaders of the world and the world spirit that's in the world, and again told to be silent when it came to the gospel. In verse 12, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." And the one accord is a desire to worship and praise God. They worshiped the Lord. They were in prayer. They sought the power of God's Spirit. They were thanking God as they saw many people coming to know the Lord and giving their hearts to Jesus, accepting the gift of salvation that was found in Christ. And so there was great power that was going out at that time as the apostles in the early church really walked in the power of God's Spirit. Today, when we don't do that, we don't see God's Spirit moving the way He did here. But it was a powerful thing that was doing. There was miracles that were being done, and people were being healed. It says, "And the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them." And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. And so there was a great impact in the city of Jerusalem. We'd already seen under the first two sermons that Peter had given, 8,000 men gave their hearts to the Lord in those two sermons. And now we're seeing multitudes more are giving their hearts to Christ. And as they're doing this, it's Satan is not happy because he no longer has got control of these men and women's hearts as they've given them to their Lord. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick unto the streets and laid them on beds and couches that the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. And the power of God manifested itself tremendously. And people say, well, when the scriptures were completed, we don't see that power anymore because you've got the Word of God written. That is not necessarily true. You go to many of the countries where the Bible is difficult to get and preaching is difficult to do. And some of the Muslim countries, you're still seeing miracles done and people coming to Christ because of the healings that are occurring in people's lives. And testimony can be given of for example, I read the account in this book we've got of one Muslim woman that was sick and had been looking to the Lord and wondering, would the Lord really reveal Himself to her, and who really is the Lord, and crying out to Him. And it was revealed to her that Jesus is God. And she cried out to the name of Jesus and asked Him to heal her and to show His power if He truly was God. And He did heal her. And the thing is, those types of things are happening in people's lives and still can happen. But we have the power of God's Word and given to us. And yet Christians today don't use the power of God's Word, nor do they seek the power of God's Spirit to touch lives. And we don't have the impact that they were having during the early church. But they had tremendous impact. Well, whenever God moves mightily, Satan tries to stifle it and comes against His people. Verse 17, "Then the high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation." Now, if you stop and think about it, they should have been the ones that should have been the most joyful. Because once again, they were the priests. They were the leaders of worship in the temple. The disciples were going to the temple and were preaching at the temple and preaching from the Word of God, showing that Jesus truly was the Messiah. And as they preached, people were getting saved, accepting Christ. Their lives were changed. There was a whole new difference in the atmosphere, in the worship of the people in Jerusalem. And yet what happened is these men, the Sadducees, didn't believe the Bible, didn't believe in the resurrection, didn't believe in the power of God, didn't believe in the Spirit of God, but rather believed in the power of their office and their ability to control men. And it really bought into the whole world system. They were what would be considered the liberals of their day, in that they aligned themselves with the world spirit that was against God, even though they were the ones that were supposedly called to lead the people in the worship of God. You have many men that proclaim themselves to be pastors and leaders in churches today who have this spirit. And I remember a number of years ago, I had an uncle who was a pastor in one of the Lutheran denominations, and God saved him. And he got really excited about the Lord, and he began to change, his messages changed. And he began to preach the need for salvation, the need to come to Christ, the need to be filled with God's Spirit, the need that your life should change, and that if you're really a Christian, you should have a desire to worship the Lord. And guess what happened to him? The leadership in his church didn't like it. And eventually, the church he was pastoring asked him to leave. The people that were over him in their church structure had other leadership over the pastors. They came down on him. You can't continue to preach this way. I had another uncle who got saved. And when he got saved, he went back to the church, and you'd think the first person you should go to, it would be the pastor, and tell him what happened. And that's what my uncle did. He was transformed. He was totally changed. He went from being filled with despair and despondency and ready to give up his life, to commit suicide. And he gave his life to Christ, and he was a new creature. He was just bubbling with joy. He came back and he went to his pastor. And these were the words of his pastor that my uncle told me. My uncle's name was Arthur. And my uncle Art told me, he said, this is what the pastor said. He said, Arthur, 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 we don't act like this in our church. What's between you and the Lord is between you and the Lord. You don't talk to people about it. You don't act like the way you're acting. You just go home and be quiet. What? That's not what it says here. It says when these people got saved, what did they do? They went to the temple and they praised the Lord. And it so troubled these leaders because they weren't of God. They were of Satan. And so they came against the Christians, and they wanted to silence them. These were the same men that had pulled John and Peter aside earlier when Peter had been street preaching and seen 8,000 give their hearts to Jesus. And they said, we've got to silence these people. And then they took them aside and chastised them and told them, don't do it anymore or you're going to be in big trouble. Well, they're doing, because they said, who do we follow, God or man? Well, we follow God. Well, it goes on and it says, well, the leaderships, the priests and the Sadducees, they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. So in other words, they arrested them. There was a temple guard and they would arrest them, and they had a place where they would put them in prison. This was apart from the Roman guard. This was the temple guard. And they sought to silence them that way. And then they went about to try and figure out what they were going to do. So they put them in there, and they were going to be in there overnight. And then they were going to, the next day they were going to try them. And their crime was that they were preaching Jesus. And they were talking about God. And they were showing forth the power of God. And how dare they show miracles? How dare they see people transformed? How dare they do what these priests should have been doing, but didn't believe God would ever do because they didn't believe in God? Then it says, and the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And that life would be the life of Jesus. And so what they did is supernaturally, an angel of the Lord opened the temple. Now, if you're going to open the prison doors and let them out. It's amazing because the next morning, we're going to see in just a second, the guards didn't know they were gone. And so how did that happen? Well, God can do amazing things. And God has done amazing things for people supernaturally. He does send His angels to intervene for us and to help us. In this case, He did not want His word silenced. He wanted these men to go forth and preach, and He wanted to encourage them and let them know that what they were doing was right. And these Sadducees and the high priest who came and tried to stifle them and tell them to be silent, they were the ones that were really facing eternal imprisonment by the Lord in the lake of fire, unless they changed, their hearts were changed. And so He set them free and told them, go to the temple and preach. Go to the temple and speak of this one. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. Now, were they afraid? I don't see any fear there at all. And one of the things I see them instead going in the power of God, and even though they had been let out of prison supernaturally by God, and had been really imprisoned twice, Peter and John had been imprisoned twice already, and these other disciples who were with them, they were imprisoned as well for this time, and yet we see that they weren't silenced. They went out and spoke. Today, oftentimes, we're fearful. We don't want to say anything. We don't want to offend people. And really, it boils down to, I don't want to have people think less of me. But the problem is, are we worried about what men think of us or about what God thinks of us? And if He gives us opportunity to speak, and He tells us and lays on our heart to go and tell somebody, are we going to go and tell, or are we going to cower in fear? These men, when they were told, go to the temple and speak about Jesus, they went to the temple and spoke about Jesus. And it says here, and when they heard that they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught, but the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. So that was the next morning, and they thought, well, now we're going to take care of this problem once and for all. So as they gathered together, and the Senate would be the Sanhedrin, and they would meet, and they would determine the fate of these men. But when the officers came and found them not in prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors, but when we had opened, we found no man within. And so supernaturally they were delivered because the keepers hadn't moved, the doors were still locked, and yet the disciples and the apostles were gone. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow, or how this happened. How did this happen? It couldn't have happened. Why? Because they don't believe in miracles, number one. They don't believe in the power of God. Remember, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. That's one of the things that made them so angry about Jesus, because he kept talking about the resurrection. Not only talk about it, but he did it. First, he resurrected Lazarus from the dead. Then he resurrected from the dead himself, and showed his victory over death, that he had the power over death. They didn't believe in the resurrection of death. They believe of the dead. They didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe in the power and authority of God's Word. Now, if you stop and think about, what did they believe in? They believed in a world system that was anti-God. And that's what you have, sad to say, in many cases in leadership in the church today, and especially when you look at what's happened in our country under the COVID things, where you had pastors shut down their churches, stop preaching to their people, say that we can't meet, we've got to obey the government, and we can't go against the law and say that we're going to preach the Word of God and talk to people about their need of a Savior during the year of 2020. They had the same spirit as these men. They didn't believe in the power of God. They didn't believe in the miracles of God. They didn't believe in the authority of God. And they didn't believe in the Spirit of God. And so consequently, they didn't walk with God, but they walked with a world that was against God. And that's what these men were doing. Now we see here it says, then came one and told them, behold, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Now, this is another proof of the fact that Jesus is real and that He really rose from the dead, and that His Spirit is real and the power of God is real. If God and Jesus didn't exist, why would these guys go to the temple and preach after they'd been let out of prison? Wouldn't you run for the hills and run as far away from Jerusalem as you could get? And they knew that who had control of the temple? Who was the one overseeing the Temple Mount? It was the Sadducees and the priests. They went to the very place where the priests had the greatest authority in all of Jerusalem and preached in the house of the Lord because God told them to, and they didn't fear God, fear man, but they feared God. And so they did what God said and did not walk in fear of the Sadducees. Then in verse 26, went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence. So the apostles came willingly. They didn't resist arrest, if you would, as they were arrested for the second time for the same crime, and that was preaching Jesus. And for they feared the people, and that is the Sadducees and the priests feared the people, that lest they should have stoned them. And why? Because they'd seen the power of God. They'd been living and hadn't seen the power of God till Jesus came. And they saw the power of God when Jesus came. And they wondered, is he the Messiah? Now these men are preaching, yes, he is the Messiah. And this is the reason he came, not just to show you his power and authority, but to set you free from your sin, that you too can have the power of God in your life. And the people were responding to that message, and the Sadducees and the priests feared that they'd be stoned if they took these men by force. But the apostles came willingly, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And that is the name of Jesus. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. It's like they're thinking their whole intent was to blame the Sadducees and have them killed for what having Jesus crucified. That was not the apostles' intent. The apostles' intent was to show that Jesus truly is the Messiah and what his purpose was in coming. That he fulfilled what Isaiah said in chapter 53. By his stripes are you healed, and he came to set men free. Then he goes on and he says, Peter answers in verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And this is the spirit that we need to have, is we need to obey God and not men, and walk in the power of the Lord and not fear what men could do to us. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And this is the purpose. It wasn't that they came to have these men, but Jesus came to cause them to repent and to turn back to God, and their sins could be forgiven. Remember, as Jesus hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he was looking to those that were standing around the cross, mocking him, cursing him, and crying out, crucify him. And yet he forgave them in that moment. And he called for them to seek his forgiveness and repent of their sin. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And this goes back to the importance of the church and why he put in the account of Ananias and Sapphira. They disobeyed God, and when they disobeyed God, they were really lying against the Spirit of God and not allowing the Spirit of God to move in their hearts the way that he wanted to. It wasn't the sin that they didn't give all their money. The sin was that they lied about what they gave and tried to deceive God. And he's saying here, we have been filled with the Spirit of God, so we may show the power of God. And he goes on and says, and there stood up verse 33 says, and when they heard that, they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to slay them. Now you can have two responses. And either the one response is they could have repented and sought the forgiveness of God, and God would have forgiven them. And they would have come to know the Lord as their Savior as well. They would have been filled with the Spirit of God as well. But they didn't. The second way, the response that men have, is to reject the message and to try and silence the messenger, figuring if they could silence these apostles, the message would go away. And so they sought counsel together to slay them. But there's a man that rises up, and it's interesting, the man that rises up. And it says, there stood up one in the council of Pharisee whose name was Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, and he had a reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. In other words, he said, set the apostles in the other room. I want to talk to you for a minute. Now this man, this teacher, Gamaliel, was the rabbi that was Paul's rabbi. Paul was studying under this man. There were two main schools of thought and two major rabbis at this time in Israel. He was one of them. He was one that believed in the power of God. He believed in God's ability to do the supernatural. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. And so as he's looking at all these events, he's seeing the supernatural power that is being shown forth through the apostles' preaching and also their ability to show forth the healing power of God in healing people of not only their physical ailments, but also their being forgiven for their sin by the power of God. And so as he's looking at this, he's saying in his mind, you can hear him thinking, well, is this of God or isn't it? Now he makes a challenge to the rest of them there. And he says, and he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. Now the apostles aren't there and the disciples aren't there. They've been taken out. What ye intend to do is touching these men. Because they've all, the Sadducees have said, let's slay them. Let's get it done with. Then it'll be done once and for all. Well, Gamaliel says, for before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. Okay, so that's the first one. He gives a second account. He says, and after this rose up a man, Judas of Galilee. It wasn't the Judas that followed Jesus, because he was of Judea. This is a different Judas. Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and he drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. And if they really believed that Jesus was still dead, then he's saying it's going to happen the same way. These guys will be all fired up for a little while and then everything will come to nothing. Because that's what happened with these other people. But if this really is of God, if Jesus is who he says he was, and if he really did rise from the dead, and if he really was the Messiah, then he said, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And that's what people need to understand today. Either we believe the Bible, or we're fighting against God. And that's what he laid before them. If you slay these people, you're going to be fighting, you may be fighting against God. But if you just let it go, it's either going to reveal itself to be of the Lord, or if it's not, they'll be just dispersed. But if you fight against it, and it's really of God, you're fighting against God, not these men. And that's a dangerous place to be in. And so he said, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily, where? In the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Were they silenced? No. And where did they go? To the very place that God had told them to go. To the temple. The very place that the Sadducees had power and control. The very temple guard that had caused them to be drawn in and imprisoned and brought before the Sanhedrin on the next day after God had supernaturally delivered them. They went back there and preached again. And as we know, the power of God continued because the message they had was real and true, and it's still true today. So the lesson for us is, don't try and deceive God like Ananias and Sapphira, but rather walk in obedience to God like the apostles and the disciples that preached the word even in the face of persecution and were not silenced and could not be silenced their whole life. And this became evidence of the fact that Jesus is who He says He is. And He did rise from the dead. And He is still alive today and empowering His followers by His Spirit. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to understand these things and help us to apply these things to our life. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 541. 541. Channel of Thee, precious Savior, that Thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might Thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power. Flowing through us, Thou canst use us every day and every hour. Empty death, Thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in Thy hand, with no power but as Thou givest, graciously with each command. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power. Flowing through us, Thou canst use us, every day and every hour. Witnessing Thy power to save me, setting free from open sin, Thou hast bought us to possess me, in Thy fullness, Lord, come in. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power. Flowing through us, Thou canst use us, every day and every hour. Jesus, fill now with Thy Spirit hearts that full surrender know. Let the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power. Flowing through us, Thou canst use us every day and every hour. Lord, I pray that You would use us every day and every hour. And Father, help us to seek to walk in obedience to You and seek to be used by You as the apostles were, even in the face of persecution. And help us to see Your power flow through us. May we be channels used by You. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.